Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. You know, forward is not always what's in front of you. Sometimes you got to turn around for it to be real forward. We're going to talk about that tonight. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Let all of us, we usually end in verse 14, let's go two more verses. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Let me just declare, this is going to be a year of spiritual maturity. And let me just tell those that are spiritually mature, there's more maturity to be had. Because if you're like me, I'm more mature than I was 10 years ago, but I still flesh out sometimes. And maturity is an ongoing process. Those that are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. So he said, if you disagree, you're immature. And God will help you understand maturity. Verse 16, but I love this verse. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. We must hold on. All the ground we gained in 2024, all the ground we've gained since we've come to Jesus, I'm not turning not one ounce of it loose. I'm not giving the devil one inch of what God has done and has given me. Before you're seated, I need somebody to just declare, I'm moving forward. Now say it with a little more umph. I'm moving forward. I'm going to ask, before you're seated, I'm going to ask them to put up the next slide. There's some declaration I want to make about moving forward. I'm moving forward. They'll put it up in just a second. And taking my family with me. I'm moving forward and I'm taking my health with me. I'm moving forward and I'm taking my purpose with me. I'm moving forward and I'm taking my ministry with me. I'm moving forward and I'm taking my career with me. And I'm moving forward and I'm taking my money with me. It's on behind me and now I need everybody. We're going to say this together right now. I'm moving forward and I'm taking my family with me. I'm moving forward and I'm taking my health with me. I'm moving forward and I'm taking my purpose with me. I'm moving forward and I'm taking my ministry with me. I'm moving forward and I'm taking my career with me. And I'm moving forward and I'm taking my money with me. You know what that means? There's some things you're leaving behind, but every good and perfect gift that God has given us, we're not leaving it behind. We are taking it with us because God has blessed us to be a blessing. God has worked in us so that he can work through us. So I'm loading myself up with all the good things that God has done. I'm moving forward and I'm not leaving any good thing behind, but there is some things I am leaving behind. Because when I say that this is what I'm taking forward, what I'm really saying is I'm leaving lack behind. I'm leaving anxiety behind. Depression, you can't make the trip with me. Listen, all of the brokenness and all of the things that God has done, none of those things can come with us. I'm moving forward. How many of you raised more than one kid in your house? Just raise your hand. You remember when the younger one was bothering the older one? And the older one would get up with his iPad and I'm speaking from experience. He would get up and move from one couch to another chair. And then little sister or sibling would just follow him to the next place. And then Tyler or your kid would say, hey, dad, she won't leave me alone. Can I encourage you that the devil wants to follow you? But you're going to have to announce to him, I'm moving forward. And there's some places that you can't go. There's some things that you can't touch. There's some things that you can't be involved in. Give the devil no place. So by declaring this, what we're saying is, devil, in 2025, you can't be here. You can't live here. You can't talk here. You can't work here. Take that mess on down the road. Somebody say, I'm moving forward. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Oh, that's great. I didn't even start my timer with all that. Okay, I get an extra. I'm moving forward. Forward. Forward is an amazing thing because a lot of us think we're moving forward, But just because you're walking and moving doesn't mean you're going forward. You know how I know which direction south is? Because I know where north is. North has a magnetic pull to it that if you have a compass, that compass is always going to point due north. And because I know where north is, listen to me. Because I know where north is, I know where east is. I know where west is, I know where south is. Just because I turn this way doesn't mean north is this way, just because it's in front of me. And just because I turn this way doesn't mean that north is this way, just because it's in front of me. There's a lot of us that think that just because we're moving, that we are moving forward. You might be moving, but until you know where Jesus is, which is our true North Star, until we know where Christ is, let me break it down for those of us that are saved. Until we know what God's word says, that's why it's important that we know the word of God, because if we don't know the word of God, we are just hoping that we are moving forward. And it's not that a lot of us aren't putting the energy and effort into making moves, but I want to make sure that you are pointed the right direction so that when we say moving forward, that it is literally the move that is taking us closer to God and closer to the calling and the purpose that he has placed in our lives. When I wrote this down, when I look at forward, I think of what we're talking about, movement in front, movement towards. But while I was sitting there right at the end of the offering, I opened up my notes one more time and I saw that word forward, and it hit me in a different way. Because how many readers do we have in the room today? Every hand should be up because you should be reading the Bible. Just saying, that's like the most important book. I encourage you to become a reader. Make that a part of your new year. Read 20 pages a day. 20 pages a day is roughly 2 books a month, 24 books a year. Everybody has 20 minutes a day. I didn't even know they made apps like this, but Jaden told me that one of her covenants this year that she's working on is she's going to read 20 minutes a day. She said, "Dad, there's an app that I can download on my phone that if I scroll too long, it shuts my phone down." So she said, it's going to keep me from scrolling on TikTok and on X and on Snap or whatever she's on. And so I want to encourage you to become readers, because when you start reading, it's going to change not only the information you have, but now you actually can make movements towards forward. But when I looked at forward, I'm a reader. I thought of just a few moments ago, I thought of the forward at the beginning of a book. So just in like 30 seconds of research right there on the front row, I found out that most authors don't like forwards. You know why most authors don't like forwards? Because they didn't write them. So just in my quick research, it said that most authors forego forwards because they didn't write them. And then the next phrase is, I love this, and the author doesn't need them. And the book doesn't need them. The work of the book stands on its own without the foreword. Say, how does this apply to what we're doing? Because there's another thing that authors like better than forewords. It's called the preface. The preface is before the story, before the word is given. But the preface is not written by a third party. The preface is written by the author. The preface is written and the author knows the book and the contents within the book. And so the preface is to get you ready for what the author's about to tell you. You say, how does that relate to forward? You don't need me to move you forward. See, I'm giving you the foreword today, but I didn't write the book. The author might have chose me to write the foreword, but at the end of the day, God's saying, Brandon, as much as I love you, I don't need you. And so what I'm giving you tonight is the foreword, not needed by God, but here I am telling you that God's getting ready to speak. But what I believe is going to happen over the 21 days of fasting that starts on Monday is that God is about to offer you the preface to your life. He is the one that knows your story from beginning to end because he penned it and he wrote it. Stay with me now. He's the one that knows every antagonist that rises up against you. He knows every bully and every giant. He knows every enemy and arch rival that is in your story. But he also knows that how he wrote the end of your story is going to be one of victory and going to be one of breakthrough. And so he is telling us now in the preface, if you will listen to what I'm saying through prayer and fasting,
I'm going to show you things about your story that you don't even know. The God that is already standing in 2026 wants to talk to us the first day of 2025 and say, there's some things that I need to tell you about your story. And if you will listen to me on a Wednesday night, when hell breaks loose in February, you will not fret. You will not doubt. You will not go down. You will say, God has already prepared me with the preface for what God is speaking in my story. So I'm here to move you forward, but God doesn't need me to move you forward. God needs your ear to hear what the Spirit says. God needs your eye to see what the vision that God has given you for your life. We cannot be what God has created us to be, go where He has called us to go, or do what He has called us to do without moving forward. Somebody say forward. Your purpose, our purpose, our creative calling will always be in front of us. You've heard me recently say the only two reasons we look back is to see how far we have come and to remember what God has done in our lives. But I will say it again, your creative calling and your purpose will never be found behind you. It will always be found in front of you. And so if you are needing something to do, don't look back, look ahead. If you are needing some encouragement, don't look down, look up. Jesus today is ready and He is willing to use anybody and everybody in the room or on the other side of that camera tonight. And I'm encouraging you, 2025 is going to have some highs and it's going to have some lows. But for those of us that realize we are not the writers of our story, we are just the main character in our story. We realize that it is not up to us whether that giant is going to fall or whether that giant's going to be defeated. It is up to the God in us. And so I'm not worried about what's in front of me in the neck. I am so focused on Jesus and His voice. That is why Jesus would say in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus told them, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We need preachers, and I'm starting to see them creeping up on social media and creeping up in great churches all across our nation. Pastors with a backbone that don't mind preaching truth even when it offends people. That don't mind preaching the word of God even when it's going to make people uncomfortable. You realize there's some things that we touch on when straight from the word of God, people are never going to come back to Living Way because they wanted their ears itched. We didn't come to itch your ears. We came to save your soul and to reach into your heart so that God can save and God can transform. Jesus said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow ready to move forward but looks back is unfit for the kingdom. Not unfit for ministry, unfit for the kingdom. Unfit for eternal life, unfit for heaven, unfit for that relationship with God. He said, I can't have people that have a forward mind but a backwards look. And you can talk about how 2025 is going to be your year and how God is going to do this and God is going to do that. Unless you have a movement forward, it is just talk. And talk is, thank you very much. When you see fit in the Hebrew, fit comes from the Hebrew word ethotos. It means well-placed. It means suitable. Suitable there means full dedication. So when Jesus says they are unfit, if fit means well-placed or in the perfect place, then unfit means out of place. If looking backwards makes us unfit, church, or makes us out of place or out of the will of God, then when we as believers are not forward moving and forward focused, we are not in the place that God has called us to be. Can I encourage you? I want to be right where God has called me to be in 2024. Well, what about if you're the only one? You've got to get used to walking those roads by yourself. God does not promote herds. God does not promote groups. God promotes people. God promotes individuals. And he's looking for a David in the room tonight. He's looking for an Esther in the room tonight. And I prophetically speak that there is a David and an Esther that will be found tonight that is going to bring down giants for a generation and is going to free entire communities of people. Unfit. Said you're doing the right thing. Hands are on the plow, but you're unfit. You're out of place. Doing the right thing the wrong direction. Doing the right thing the wrong direction. You say, what does doing the right thing the wrong direction look like? It means volunteering for nonprofits, but not serving at the local church. Building homes for Habitat for Humanity, but not building the kingdom and the house of God. And I think you should do both. But if you serve God, that is with a focus on God and a focus on what he has called us to do. And so if you are going to have your hands to the plow, you better make sure that plow is following Jesus. Otherwise, you're just working in a field, you're sweating, you're toiling, all for something that this earth cannot give you. Unfit is defined as out of place. If we're out of place, we miss a lot of things that are in front of us. Pastor Manny, if you'll come up here real quick. I didn't say you were going to do this, but we'll do this. I met Manny when she was 5 years old. I was 9 years old. We hated each other. If you'll face me. When she was five and I was nine, we had close proximity. But I was like this. No. That's the problem. See, I wasn't all the, it wasn't just me, y'all. Just stand there. Goodness gracious. See, I can tell you, we didn't practice this in the office. She's there, I'm here. Proximity, we're close. Doesn't matter how close we are if I'm looking this way. From the time I was 9 to the time I was 20, I met a lot of losers looking this way. I met a lot of waste of times looking this way. But somewhere along the line, when I turned 20 and she came back at 16, now we had proximity. And we were close. Closeness doesn't equate relationship. That's why you can sit in a church all your life and not know Jesus. You can know about him. I could tell you when I was 11 years old, I could tell you her name. I could show you her parents. I knew what school she went to. I could tell you things about her just because I was around her, but I wasn't facing her. There's a lot of us who have missed out on things because we thought just being in close proximity with Jesus was going to get the job done. But you know what life does? Life does the same thing to you that it did to me. I went out and I tried this person. I looked to this person. I tried this relationship. I tried the rest, and then here I came back in 2002, and we got back close together, but this time I'm facing forward. You can sit down. You need to come up here and help me preach more. You're so beautiful. I just get distracted. How much have we missed being close to Jesus but not facing forward? See, that's where distraction comes in. Man, I go to church. I love God. I serve. I read my Bible. Yeah, but if all it takes is one little distraction to get your focus off of Jesus. And when your focus is off of Jesus, not Brandon, not our team, not the church, Jesus says you're unfit if you're out of place. If you're not facing the right direction, you are out of place. Let's go a little further. Isaiah 50, verse 7. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. This is Isaiah. You should read verses 1-6 on your own time. God has just read Isaiah, the riot act. The people of Israel are acting cray-cray. Talks to Isaiah, and Isaiah says this, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, like a stone, determined to do his will. Somebody say, I'm determined. And I know that I will not be put to shame. anything I do for Jesus, anything I do out of the determination to follow him and to have relationship with him, it is never going to bring shame onto me or my family. Unfit is not only defined as well-placed, but it is defined as suitable. That word suitable means full dedication. So if we put our hand to the plow and we are found unfit, we are not suitable. When you look at not being suitable, it means that you are not fully dedicated. It means that you have one foot in the church and one foot out of the church. It means that you have one foot in the kingdom and one foot out of the kingdom. It means that we've gotten really good at praising and worshiping on Sunday and living like hell for the world Monday through Saturday. It means we hug and kiss people on the cheek at church and we cuss and gossip about everybody outside of church. He said, if you're not fully determined, fully dedicated, if we are going to move forward in 2025, church, we must be fully dedicated and committed to Jesus, which comes down to two words. Jesus, I am all in. Everything you need that I have, it is yours. Three things. Total dedication. Total dedication means I am wholly committed, meaning this, there are no holes within my commitment. I am not committed only when it is convenient. I am committed whenever I am needed. Whenever you want me to do something, you want me to stop and pray for that person on a Monday, that's what I'll do. If you want me to give a special offering, that's what I'll do. If you want me to volunteer extra, that's what I'll do. People of this church is beginning to wake up. Had a gentleman stop me in the aisle on Sunday during service, and he said, Pastor, God has been dealing with me. He said, I give to the church, but he said he wants me to volunteer more. So he said, wherever you need help, you call me, you let me know, and I'm going to be there. You talk about a man that is having a moment with God. God is saying, hey, you've had your hand on the plow, but I don't want you to be distracted. I want you to be focused and fully or totally dedicated, wholly committed, total devotion. I love the word devotion. When you look up devotion, it means this, an earnest attachment to a cause. We use that word devotion in wedding ceremonies, being devoted to one another for the rest of your life. In church, when we think of devotion, we think of literally Bible studies, devos, devotional time. But listen to what devotion means. It means an earnest attachment to a cause. When David was fighting Goliath, David uses the phrase in 1 Samuel 16 and 17, is there not a cause? He says, if you show me the cause of God, I'm going to be fully committed to it. I'm going to embrace it. So if total devotion is an earnest attachment to a cause, this is my question to Living Way, including myself tonight. What are you attached to? Because what you are attached to is going to dominate your thinking and your life. When you get to heaven, there's only going to be one attachment that is going to get you in. That I was attached to Jesus. Wherever he was, that was a good place to say amen. Wherever he was, I was. What he was involved in, I was involved in. Remember what Jesus would say. He said, there's going to be some that come and say, we prophesied in your name. We did all of these great exploits in your name. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. What he's going to say is, we were never attached. You remember when you had friends in high school and you knew they were seeing somebody and they didn't want you to know that they were dating? And then like friends do in high school, you just called them out publicly. I saw you down at the Galaxy Theater. Y'all remember the Galaxy when it was the spot in San Antonio? It's not the spot anymore, y'all. Go to Santico's. Praise God. I don't even own stock or anything, but that place is glorious. And they would say, no, we're not together. I was just messing around with them. That's not my girlfriend. He's not my boyfriend. They literally, in the moment when it was called to light publicly, they distanced themselves. No one likes to be rejected, but this is what Jesus says. Hard pill to swallow in 2025. You might have done all of those things in my name, but I never knew you. You spent your life distancing yourself from him. He'll spend the eternity distancing himself from us. That's Jesus. That's straight word. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He said, you said the right things, but you were never attached. A lady stopped me, let's say a few months ago, so I can make it very ambiguous, after church. And she wanted something from the church. Something that, let's just say, cost $30,000. And when I told her that that wasn't going to be possible, she said, I've been coming here 26 years. I promise you, before God, it was the first time I have ever seen her in my life. And I said, you've been coming here 26 years? And she knew that I was doubting. And she said, oh, I sit way in the back when I come. The only thing is, for the last 2.5 years, every Sunday and Wednesday, I walk across the back and I shake hands with people along the back, along the aisles, and along the front. What she was saying didn't match her attachment. And then she got mad when what she said that she was attached to didn't have the same feeling towards her. I'm going to tell you right now, with everything going on in the world, we are on the verge of World War III at any moment. Jesus could literally split the eastern sky before this service is over. And when he does, I want to be able to stand before God and say the same things that all of the workers of iniquity did. Jesus, I served you. I loved you. I preached. I prophesied. I laid hands on the sick. And he said, oh, you did all of that, but you did that because you were attached to me and because you loved me and because you followed me. When we talk about moving forward, we're talking about being fit and having an attachment, an earnest attachment to Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. I can't hold on to Mandy why Mandy's holding on to Jesus. Tyler's at the age now, turns 21 in 3 weeks. He can't hold on to me as I hold on to Jesus. That's what he did when he was 3, but remember, we're talking about maturity. He had to step out from my shadows, from out from behind me, and say, hey, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to be attached to you. I want to feel your hand in my hand. Come on now. I don't want to just experience you through my parents. I don't want them to tell me how your voice sounds only. I don't want them to tell me how your embrace feels only. That was good enough to entice me when I was little, but now I am a man and I want to know what your embrace feels like for myself. And I want to know what your voice sounds like in my ear. I want to be attached. The attachment, total devotion, the earnest attachment. Total determination. I love this. Total determination means it's settled. It's decided. The old hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Doesn't matter what's behind us. All that matters is what's in front of us. In 2025, we need to move forward. This world is hurting. So much hate. Woke up to the devastating news of an act of straight up evil in New Orleans, taking the lives of 15 and injuring 25 others. What do we need? Isn't it amazing when someone kills someone with a gun, they want to take the guns away? But no one ever talks about taking the cars away. Why? Because you can't legislate love and you can't legislate people acting right. It is a heart and a spirit issue. And you know how I keep myself right? By staying attached. You know how I keep myself right? By saying, God, it is settled. I have decided to follow you. Well, Brandon, what if it cost you this? I have decided. That old generation, you try to argue with them as parents and kids, and they would tell you, I don't want to hear anything else about it. It's already settled. Don't bring it up again. Some of us need to tell the devil that it's already settled. Quit trying to get me to go back. I'm not going back. It is settled. I am in this for the long haul. Stand on your feet. I'm going to do better, Tyler. I'm going to do better. I'm doing better. Praise God. I'm going to end with this illustration. The great Albert Einstein said this, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. Y'all remember learning how to ride a bicycle? Falling, and then one day you just took off. But for those of you that you remember those, it's been a long time since I've been on a bicycle. But a lot of men in here, you ride motorcycles. Same thing. Doesn't matter how great of a motorcycle rider you are, if you don't keep that thing moving, it's going to fall to the left or right. Check this out. Even if you go slow, you might wobble, but you're not going to fall. I need you to move forward in 2025. A lot of us have been stopped for way too long. Can I just say what I sense in my spirit? A lot of us have been stopped, and the excuse we use is we're waiting on God. We're waiting on direction. We're going to get to it next week, y'all. Exodus chapter 14. God gave me a revelation 2 weeks ago where he tells Moses, stand still. It's going to blow your mind when we get to it. Because we always talk about, I'm just in a season of standing still, waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord ended at the cross. Because everything he needed to do was done. When the Holy Ghost showed up in the upper room and was given to 120 people, waiting on the Lord ceased. Because now, because I have the Spirit, I can hear from God and move forward all at the same time. A lack of maturity means I have to sit down and literally wait till God gives me my next instruction. When I wake up in the morning, I don't have to sit down and say, well, I'm just going to wait until God gives me direction. I know what I got to do when I wake up. I start praying. I start working. I walk up to my barn. I anoint every horse that's going to sell for 10 times what I paid for it. Praise God. I preach to them what I'm about to preach to you, and they nod their head in agreement. I'm not waiting. And please, listen to what I'm saying. Doesn't mean I always know what to do, but I'm doing what I already know to do while I'm waiting on the new word of what he wants me to do. So the standing still, we'll get there. But there's a lot of us that we're stuck. We'll get there next week too. We do crazy things when we're stuck, when we feel like we've got crazy options and there's nothing. But it's time that we move forward. It's time that we move forward. Total devotion, total determination, total dedication. If you're in this house tonight, and listen, I think this is most of us. Whether you've been saved for 30 years, 30 days, 3 months, there's a forward movement that God requires of us in 2025 that we've never done before. For the church, for us as individuals, I want you to leave your seat and say, God, I'm ready to move forward. God, I'm moving forward and my family's coming with me. My ministry's coming with me. Come on, praise God for the dozen or so that are moving, but I think there's another 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 dozen. I think there's a couple hundred people here tonight. I think it would be great on the Alpha service of 2025 for most of the people in this room to say, Pastor, we are on the same page. God has been speaking to me about some things that I need to do, some things that I've been feeling in my spirit that have not yet been done yet. This is the thing that I needed to get me motivated and for God to get my attention. Hey, I'm speaking to the pastor the same thing I've been speaking to you. It blesses me. Can I tell you that Michael Johnson, right here on the front row, he has called our last three themes before I ever told them. He's walked up to me in November or December or January, the last 3 years, he did it on Sunday. He said, can I just share with you what God shared with me? I said, sure. And now it's like, okay, well, God's been talking to him like he's been talking to me. And I mean, he nails it every single time. Sometimes I'm not going to show you anything revelatory. I'm just going to confirm what God's already been talking to you about. And that's okay. Remember, I'm the forward. I'm not the preface. God doesn't need me. God has already written your story. But here in the next 25 days, when we start fasting and praying and leaning into these moments like this, God is going to start sharing some things about your story that has already been written.